The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself. If he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him as they approached to offer him wine. They called out, "You are King of the Jews. Save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuked him and said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly. For the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. One occasion, Jesus was asked, "Where is the kingdom of God?" And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is among you." So for us to reign in the eternal kingdom of God, we have to understand, where is the kingdom of God? Where is it? And how can we live out the kingdom of God right now? The Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, has seven petitions. Seven petitions. Every time we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." We pray the Our Father every day. And we pray, "Thy kingdom come." So I'd like to talk about, where is the kingdom of God? Those who are doing the spiritual exercises, one of the most common phrases or sayings we have in the gospel is the kingdom of God. Actually, the first preaching of Jesus, Mark chapter 1:15, Jesus says, "Be converted because the kingdom of God is at hand." Remember on one occasion, in my parish I was preaching in a mass on Sunday. And they asked the people, "Would you like to see where the kingdom of God is?" And they're kind of going like this. No? And they noticed It was a Spanish mass, and there were a lot of mothers that had babies in their arms. Little babies in their arms. And I looked at one lady who had a baby that was maybe about one. I said, "You people really want to see where the kingdom of God is?" I asked that lady, "What's that baby's name?" "Guadalupe." "Oh, Lupe." He asked, "Is she baptized?" "Oh, she was baptized within a month." So I said, "Put your hand over that little baby's heart. There's the kingdom of God." Amen? Then I asked the parents, "How many of you have children that are 4 years and younger?" There's probably about 50 of the people there. They said, "All your children right now, you're baptized. Si, Padre. Si, Padrecito. Si. Do you want to know where the kingdom of God is? Donde?" I said, "Take your hand and put it over your heart." And all the little children put their hands over their hearts. There's the kingdom of God. Now you adults, do you have the kingdom of God within you? I don't know. I only hope so. Because we can commit a mortal sin, right? Hello? So when we commit a mortal sin, I mean, you meditate upon that 3 weeks, right? What's happening is you are purposely expelling. Because of your free choice, you're expelling the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, from your heart. It's sad to say, but that's true. Because upon committing a serious sin, a mortal sin, we know what that is. We expel the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. C.S. Lewis wrote The Great Divorce. There's no divorce in God. There's no divorce in God. Where the Father is, you got the Son. Where the Son is, you have the no separation. So let's develop this theme a little bit more. When you say the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is present once we're baptized. Once we're baptized. In our parish today, our young deacon baptized 11 babies. So we have 11 babies that entered in the church without the kingdom of God. Then they left being the kingdom of God when the deacon baptized those 11 little babies. All right. Did you notice that when me and Father Stephen and the altar servers, when we approached the altar, what did we do? What did we do? We all made a reverent genuflection. You saw that, right? A reverent genuflection. Where does that come from? Well, a little bit of European history. We live in a democracy, but back in the time of St. Ignatius, it was a monarchy. When you had kings and queens and princes and pages. You know, how would they pay homage to a king in the Middle Ages? By bowing their knee. And if you didn't, in the dungeon and your head. Yeah? You don't joke around with the king. Why do we make the genuflection when we come to the church? I love that tabernacle. I love that tabernacle. Very beautiful. When we had our new church in the year 2000, we invested probably thousands of dollars in our tabernacle, even though our people are poor. They still paid for it. If that tabernacle were worth $1 million, it would still not be worthy of the dignity of who's in that tabernacle. You hear me? I'm not going to say that you go to Father Stephen, come on, get a $1 million tabernacle. No, you can't do that, no? But the whole idea is we can never, never give the Lord the best. You know the Curie of Ars? Curie of Ars. I have a first-class relic of the Curie of Ars, too. He lived great poverty, eating 2 potatoes a day, sleeping on the floor. But his church was beautiful. He went to Paris and Lyons to buy the best because he said, in my tabernacle, Jesus is present. So did you notice that we made the genuflection? Let me ask you a question. What about you? Did you? Hello? Did you make it like this? Or like this? Many people do that. And they're only 35 years old. I'm almost twice that age, and I try to go all the way down, huh? Make a reverent genuflection always in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Amen? And what's beautiful in this church, and we have the same climate, is you shouldn't be talking in church. Because if you're talking in church to each other, you're not talking to God. Amen? You should be talking to God. An emergency, fine. But we have to return to what is called sacred silence. Pope Benedict says we're losing the sense of the mystery in our churches. The sense of the transcendent, the three times holy God of Isaiah chapter 6. So when we're looking for the king is in the tabernacle. Problem is, this church should be packed to the gills. It should be more full than the Dodgers stadium if they were playing against the Astros. It should be. It should be. Why? Because of lack of faith that the King of Kings is right there. He's there. And you should be drawn magnetically every day to come to church as well as to come to visit the Lord. When I was a little child, many, many years ago, being brought up and raised in New York and New Jersey, the churches were not always open. When I was driving with my mother in the car, she'd say, hey, there's a Catholic church. Let's stop to make a visit. And one of the first poems I learned when I was 6 years old was, whenever I see a church, I stop to make a visit, so that when I die, the Lord will not say, who is it? Amen? I'm a poet and I don't even know it, right? So we want to make a visit to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Okay, let's go deeper. Let's go deeper in our mystical life, can we? Tell you another place where the kingdom of God is. When your pastor, as well as your humble visiting servant, when he takes the bread and wine and he lifts it up, his hands are the kingdom of God. They are. That's why when we were ordained, our hands were blessed with holy oil. Our hands become the kingdom of God. Why? Who's being born in our hands? Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is not metaphorical or symbolic. This is real. This is real. Let's get even closer. How many of you are going to receive Holy Communion today? I'm going to tell you where the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is your tongue, your mouth, and your heart. Your tongue is the throne of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How could we possibly ever be using four-letter words or being chismosas or cursing? Because Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So you are the living kingdom of God. Especially when you receive Holy Communion, you are truly the kingdom of God. And last but not least, if there is a king, then there is a queen. And that queen is the Blessed Virgin Mary. So we really want to fall in love with the king, we fall in love with the queen. For that reason, we say, Hail, Holy Queen, Mother Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Que viva Cristo Rey, no? Que viva la Virgen de Guadalupe. Amen? Hallelujah.
Let us stand now to profess our faith.